seat and I'm sitting in the middle. Two girls by my side with the windows rolled down and I'm feeling really fine. Do you want to know what's on my mind?
Welcome to the Getting Chicks Podcast with Dave and Matt. Alongside, thank you for listening. Alongside me, my co-host, my partner in crime, Dave Swan.
Yep, been the same name since you know
same
me.
Same name since I've been. Yeah, it's he's threatening me with a water gun right now.
I haven't threatened you yet.
We're gonna try to fight through. This podcast. We're going through some technical difficulties.
There's no technical difficulties. It's mental difficulties.
All right, yeah. For the people,
you're an emotional little baby.
I was a little baby. For the people listening last week, yes, I was a little baby last week. I was trying to make amends. I was trying to cross bridges. I offered Dave. I got two free days in Vegas at the Rio Casino.
That is correct.
I won a lot of money there. They want to give me back. They want me to lose some more money. And you just gave me this ambivalence.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. It was just like, it's two free days.
I know.
I was going to cover the gas.
Oh, now earlier you said you'd split the gas.
I know. Well, yeah. Well, I know. I'd cover.
What's the story now?
I'd cover either getting out there.
Pick a lane.
Right
or left.
We could find some spots out there. We could do that. And that was going
to
be fun.
I know every time we've been supposed to do spots on the road, they magically fall through. There's a history of this.
One was not my fault.
Which one?
San Francisco was not my fault.
Okay.
Would you agree with that?
Maybe. Okay. Could have been back in time to work. Got some hours that weekend.
Okay.
But you're like, no. It's a paid gig up here. Fell through.
Yeah, it was. And
I'm like, I have to guarantee I have a paid gig if I'm not going to just go to work this weekend.
Okay.
And then, yep, I have it.
And then you contacted him and then he said he's not doing the show.
But you made it sound like you already had it put together.
I apologize. Yeah, this is always just weird.
I hold on to
this
shit.
You do hold on to shit.
I have fucking luggage.
Absolutely. So what can we...
Nice silver luggage, though.
Okay.
Rollers.
Okay, the thing in Barstow, yes. Maybe we could go redo Barstow again. How about that? And actually do it this time. How do you feel about that?
I'd do it if it actually happened.
Okay, see?
Third time's a charm. Supposed to do it the first time, and they're like, I forgot to go up early.
Yeah.
I thought they'd have a Kinko's. Well, the second time, you're like... I'll lie about why we're not doing it.
I was tired and I lied, and then but then I also admitted to you what like a week later.
Yes, the reason I was angry about that one was because I had to look like the asshole and tell my two friends that that gig that we were supposed to do in Barstow we're not doing anymore because some jackalope goes, I'm too lazy. And no, I didn't tell them you said you're too lazy. I just go, it got double booked. But I still felt like a dick about it because one of those guys got booked on another show that night.
Okay.
And he goes, I can't do it because I'm going to be in Barstow.
Well, man, I'm going
to... Okay, well, I got him in touch with the person and he got that gig back.
Well, you solve problems. You're a fixer.
When I tell people stuff, I like to... My word is my bond.
There you go.
You know, Tony Montana, there's two things...
Okay, you're going to start quoting it? You're going to start quoting a movie? You're going to start quoting Scarface? Quote that for me. I want to hear it.
I don't remember it.
You don't remember it? Okay.
My word and my balls.
There's two things in my life I have, my word and my balls, yes. But that was, my word is my bond. I love that. That's very, it was very Western. I liked it. It was very, it's like a remake of Dallas in here.
They already are remaking Dallas.
Yes, they are. They're remaking TNT. Dallas. Does anyone going to watch that? Are you going to watch that? Are you going to wait?
TNT. The only thing I watch on TNT is Leverage. Amazing show.
Leverage, is that the show with Glenn Close?
No, you're thinking of Damages on FX.
What's Leverage about? Tell me about Leverage.
Leverage is the one where it's like a grifter, a con.
Shady people.
Okay. A bunch of shady people. It's like Robin Hood, but modernized.
Okay, so they're robbing from the rich to just like...
Like corporations and stuff that like wrong people. Like they're doing everything to fix those wrongs.
Oh, okay. Like, are they lawyers or
no.
Are they just kind of black?
They like steal them. They steal everything from them. Great show. I like the show.
Okay, kind of like the kid from Friday kind of slip and fall in a Korean store so you can try to get paid, that kind of thing? Is that what's...
No, like...
Or are they like, kind of like bigger operations?
Bigger operations.
Okay.
Yeah. I recommend. They're on the fourth or fifth season. Good show.
I thought you were a Republican. You shouldn't like these kind of things, dude.
I like whatever.
Yeah?
Okay. I just think that if you earn your money, you deserve your money if someone takes it from you.
Shoot it with a water gun?
Yes.
You going through some stuff, man? What's going on?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you still upset about the night in Barstow that we didn't get to go do?
No, I don't give a shit about that.
Okay, it seems like you're holding on to that.
Oh, no. Yeah. I just have that one. Like, that's one of those cards I can just throw on the table.
Oh, okay.
That's why I don't get excited to go on trips with you.
Okay,
because they might... Supposed to happen. But...
I'm like a horrible father. I'm like a really bad father.
We're going to the game tonight, Dad? Awesome! You have to work again? Oh.
I'm like Jim Carrey in Liar Liar.
Thanks, Dad. You know, I had a home run tonight. I think the reason I wasn't good at sports growing up was because my dad didn't show initiation.
Oh, and so I... So
actually, that's not...
You think of me like a father figure?
Not in the slightest.
Not in the slightest.
I think he was that brother that everyone disowned.
Wow. Oh, wow, man. That's very... You seem real with that. I don't know.
I can do this. I'm an actor.
You're an actor?
No, not at all. I'm shaking my head.
I am not an actor, yes.
I'm a jackalope who gets...
You're a jackalope?
Yes.
Okay, what is that? Half jackass, half antelope?
No.
Okay.
Half jackass, half cantaloupe.
Sounds delicious. So, the finals are... Are you paying attention to any of the sporting?
Fuck no.
No? Okay.
No. I know the Heat and the Celtics and Laker fans are like, I want it to be a... Someone said they wanted to be a machine gun game, just someone going clear. I don't mind the
Jesus
Celtics.
Christ, who said that?
I don't know, a Lakers fan.
Okay, they wanted to, like, blow up the thing? Like
there's, like, oh, both teams suck.
Pearl Jam? Is that what's going on?
Maybe. Yeah. A little bit, probably. Oh, wow. I just like... I like my Cleveland teams. I know they don't do well.
Okay.
Ever.
How are the Indians doing?
Indians, I hear, are doing well this year.
Yeah.
I'm not really following them. But they, yeah, Celtics, don't mind them. I want them to win because I hate the Heat, and I want them to burn like their name.
Oh, because of the LeBron James
leaving
Cleveland?
Yeah, he's a piece
of shit. Okay, all right. So you're still holding on.
Like I said, I hold on to stuff.
Clearly. Yeah, that's, do you look at LeBron James as a father figure, too, also, and he abandoned you and let you down? Is that what happens?
No, I knew he was leaving.
Yeah, okay.
But it was just not left. We've gone over this.
Okay, all right.
I read The Horror of Akron. Great book. I recommend reading it if you...
John Feinstein, is that?
No, not even close. Scott Rabb.
Scott Rabb, okay. Actually, he writes a lot of good sports books. All right, well, hockey, do you care about hockey, Dave?
I like hockey.
Do you watch hockey on TV? Do you watch hockey live?
If I'm at a bar, I do watch hockey live. I went to the Chicago Blackhawks-Kings game this year.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
I liked the Blackhawks, and the Blackhawks got shut out by the Kings.
You liked the Blackhawks, and they got shut out. Yeah, because you don't have a team in Cleveland. Okay, cool.
We've got the Lake Erie Monsters, which is a farm league for the Colorado Avalanche, which I don't give a shit about.
Okay.
I like the Leafs, the Blackhawks.
Toronto Maple Leafs, Chicago Blackhawks.
Blue Jackets.
Blue Jackets, is that Columbus?
Yes.
Columbus?
Kind of the Kings, kind of, but not really.
The LA Kings, okay.
Just because it's like, oh, there's a team here. I can go see that.
Okay. Now, have you noticed trying to watch it on TV as opposed to watching it live? Completely different.
No, it's about the same.
No?
I like anything's better watching live except for golf, which I wouldn't know why you would watch in the first place.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a fan of golf. I can't watch golf on TV. I can't watch racing.
Racing's fun live. Racing is really fun live. It's just a giant booze fest. Especially if you like somehow get into an owner's box and there's like, here. Oh, yeah. Just keep grabbing the button.
Where'd you go? Like a NASCAR thing? Or
Cleveland 500 a couple times. And I've gone to the Chicago 500, but I wasn't able to legally drink at that time. So
you illegally drink?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my, you behaved.
I'm a gentleman.
Okay, absolutely. So race fan, yeah, so that's more fun, absolutely, going live. You ever gone to the one out here in L.A.?
No, I wanted to kind of go this year. It's a couple weeks ago, the Long Beach 500.
That's more like IndyCar, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've thrown the tires over the wall, like when they're changing the tires out on the car.
Oh, you were in the pit crew?
Yeah, I was in the pit crew.
How'd you get hooked up with that?
Same way I got hooked up with the owner box.
Just knowing people, just pulling your angles?
Yeah.
And what was it, fun?
It was. I'm lucky the car was in last place because the last tire I threw over the wall was the wrong way. So
it was a tire they needed?
Yeah.
Oh,
like, it's like, okay. Oh,
and you got rid of it, but they needed to put it on the car.
No. Like, they're like, oh, here, you give them the tires. Like, here's a tire.
Okay.
And they all have to be given the tires this precise way.
Because, like, right now I said you gave them five tires right there. That would
four
be
tires.
Okay, right. Because you said, okay. Yeah.
You give them like 16 overall because they do them throughout the race.
There's different ones for the front and the back, and
it's just like how you give them the tires, like
the
sequence. They have like how that tire they have to give them this way, so they just like grab it and put it on. They don't have to flip it around because that's like 1 second could like be a lot.
Okay, Wow, that's interesting. So the car you were in was in last place?
Yeah.
Is that basically because they were just taking people out of the stands to work in the pit crew, or?
No, it was something, like, it was their first time, like, I think they had two cars in the race, and the first one.
Like they were a team.
Yeah, something went wrong with the first one, and that was their second car, and it just, like, kind of wasn't doing as hot.
Okay. It was just the cruise control in the race?
Yeah.
All right. So that's fun. That's a great story you could tell kids. You worked on an IndyCar pit crew.
I did. I'm a man.
You're a man. You've done things. You hold on to things.
Yes,
you suppress them. You like hockey. There you go. You've established your masculinity. I like that.
I manned the grill at a Memorial Day barbecue.
Oh, yeah? Were you territorial with it?
Not by choice. I was just standing by the grill, and I was told, you look like you know man things. Work on the grill.
Oh, was it? Were you told this by another man or by a woman?
Yes.
Well, all right. Did you have a good time?
I did.
Yeah?
But, got a little sunburned.
A little sunburned? So did I. I picked up a little bit on the forehead there.
Well, that's what happens when
you're... I'm bald. Yes. So, yeah, I have to deal with that.
You have to wear a hat. You can get that bald hairspray. My dad uses that.
Oh, yeah.
But he's holding on to that last, like...
Oh, the pullover? Oh.
Like, he doesn't do the full...
Like just, a Rob Corddry kind of thing? Absolutely.
No, not that. More like the Homer J. Simpson, but he's got the...
Yeah.
Like, maestro.
Yeah.
But not the long. And then he's got the...
Well, yeah, so he's really trying to go for the whole effect thing. I
just a little bit. He wants people to know there was stuff there at one point in time.
I've given up on that. So.
I know.
Yeah.
You've given up on a lot of things.
Can you not do that by the microphone? Yeah, I gave up on the gig in Barstow. I gave up on that, Dave. Yes, I did.
Oh, I was going to say with your body. You're just like, this is me.
Oh, yeah, he's just going there. He's just absolutely just going deep, man. Just cutting, throwing salt in the wounds. There we go. Absolutely. I like that. It's very...
You should probably watch your cholesterol.
Too. I should probably watch my cholesterol, absolutely. I should start running, absolutely, like you. Like you and our next guest.
Oh, we're at 10 miles yesterday, all right?
All right, excellent.
We'll do the same tomorrow.
Well, I'm happy for you. Okay, we'll talk more about that in just a second. We'll go to a break, listen to some everyday...
Animals,
everyday animals. Your friends,
yes, they
absolutely,
are.
Very, very good, very good band. And we'll be back with our guest. Thanks for listening.
It's getting hard to keep it simple.
Welcome back to the second half of the podcast. Welcome to the show.
You're just forgetting people's names. Today.
Jen Murphy.
There we go. High five.
Hi. There we go. Yes. There we go. Jen Murphy.
You forgot Dave's name. You forgot mine.
I forgot the name of the band in between.
I've started drinking again, and I remember this stuff, man.
Yeah. You start drinking, and
again. How long did you stop?
Well, I go through phases of like not drinking for a couple weeks, and then the last 2 days have been kind of like heavy days. Last night I hosted an open mic and just. It was walking distance. And they're like, oh, here, you can have the bar. Here, there's a host tab, so just have fun. I'm like, really? All right, here's my credit card. And they're like, oh, you just have $4 on. I'm like, awesome.
It's so hard not to drink when it's walking distance and free.
And comped, absolutely.
Well, it's probably not
that's
drinking,
why, like,
no,
road gigs when you're staying in a hotel right next to the club. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
So tempting.
All right, so Jen, you're hilarious. You're one of the first people I probably met. It was really nice to me that I thought was funny whenever I started doing comedy.
So nice, you forgot her name.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
He has a lot on his mind. He's married now.
I have a lot on my mind. I'm married. I am dealing with things. And I'm dealing with a sniper sitting alongside of me, just picking at every one of my
marriage
words.
Is the first step to Alzheimer's, apparently. That's what Matt is showing us.
Do you have any Alzheimer's in your family?
Yeah, my grandpa has Alzheimer's.
Oh, yeah? So my grandfather does, too. Yeah. He's like doing like 5-minute loops on stories now. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Yeah, where you sit with him for a half hour and tell you the same thing 6 times. You ever have anything like that?
Talking to you.
It was a long time ago because my grandfather passed away a long time ago. I just remember that like he would kind of look at me like he didn't really remember me so well.
Yeah.
But it's probably really painful for like their wives, but
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's probably one of the more generous ways.
Yeah.
To get, I mean, it's not as bad as like having horrible cancer or something, right? You just forget a lot of stuff.
Every day is a new one.
At least you're not in pain yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like absolutely. They're just forgetting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that with my parents. My dad, he's been starting to call me by my brother's name.
Oh,
my
no way.
Done that my whole life. Yeah, mom. It's actually, my name is technically Jack Jeff David.
Yeah, because you have the same name as your father.
No, she just goes Jack Jeff David. Like, okay. She's trying to figure out who.
Oh, those are all your brother's names too?
Yeah, my dad's Jack, my brother's Jeff, and then she's like, Dave. She just goes through names. I've been called her dog at one point too. She's like, Jack Turbo David. I'm like,
well, she throws a dog in there also. That's
hilarious.
Dad doesn't have to worry about it anymore.
That's not cool. That's
really funny.
You ever been called the wrong name by your parents?
No.
No?
Well, maybe like twice.
Yeah.
But no. I only have one brother, so
yeah,
it's not too hard to.
Yeah, I got one brother and one sister, and my older brother's mentally handicapped too, so that was like, it really irritated me. And he was doing it like all weekend. I think my dad was just like heat stroked or something. I'm not exactly sure. It was so cute. It was, but yeah, it was one of the things I'm very rarely home, so I just let it go. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it would really bother me.
Yeah. Let's see. Now, you two, you and Dave both have something in common. Dave touched on it earlier. He's a runner.
Yeah, 10 miles. That's far.
It started out of spite. Just how far I was running. And then I started, I'm like, all right, well, this spite's not going to go for a while. So let's just put a goal by the end of...
You start running out of anger? Or
yeah.
Okay, like a yeah, front, like you can get a lot of distance when you've got your mind going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's one of
the... Oh, dear. Is it women?
Oh, it was. Now
it has
it's
to
just,
be.
Now it's just moving on. And mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, this isn't going to go for a while. I like how I feel when I run, so let's do... goal. My goal is going to be, by the end of May, 10 miles each time I go running.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I usually do, like, 5 or 6.
Well, you've done, like, some marathons, right?
Oh, yeah, I've done marathons, but, I mean, just, like, general running for exercise.
I like it. It's nice, kind of. Yeah. I did those.
I think
you know,
it's really good for your mind.
Yeah, it's kind of like I go, oh, that's one nice thing. I use my phone to listen to music, and, like, if I have something pop into my head, I'm like, oh, all right, jot that note down.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, the many uses of the iPhone.
That is correct.
Yeah, or if you listen to, like, an hour podcast, if it's really interesting.
Like this one.
That'll get you through your whole run.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's nice. That's one of the problems. There's so many podcasts, I'm just like, oh, crap. I'll stop listening to one for a while, and then I'm like, oh, but I want to listen to the interview with that person.
And now you're 6 months behind.
Oh, they talked about one that they do. Oh, that's fun. Let's listen to that one.
There's so many, yeah.
The spiraling web podcast.
Wikipedia trap.
Yeah. Oh, you look up one thing, and then you look up, like, a way to something about some kind of food, and then you're, like, looking at colleges in Ohio kind of thing.
No, it's really bad.
Colleges in Ohio.
Yeah, really bad when I get stuck in comic books. Like, I'll start reading, like, one character, just, mm-hmm. like, see, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember when I was little, I liked this stuff. And then, like, oh, they say a storyline happened with this guy. Well, I wonder what his story is. Then, oh, well, he has something to do with this person. I wonder where that comes in. Okay. And, like, I start reading about... The Wall Street Journal at one point.
Just a big convoluted mess. And how do you fight through it? Then you go running. You go running.
But enough about me. Let's talk to our guest.
What happened to the girl? She's out?
Oh, yeah.
You ran her away?
Yeah.
Oh, literally. I like that little play on words there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
10 times better afterwards.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? Best thing she could have done is break up with me. I'm awesome now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And you know what? You run, you lose a little weight, you get in better shape. You know what that means? More girls.
It's been nice.
It helps your comedy, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just relax in front of, less, you know.
The running or the being
breakups.
Single?
Breakups. Yeah, single.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
That explains everything.
It's like, well, yeah, you must have been in some really bad relationships because you're fucking hilarious.
No, thanks.
You're like, thanks, I think, absolutely.
I'm just single all the time.
Yeah.
No, I mean, some people can be in serious relationships, but a lot of times you see people who get into relationships and then you just don't see them out as much. Which I don't blame them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to hang out with someone you really like rather than go to an open mic. Or...
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, sometimes right when you break up and get single, all of a sudden you have this, like, new motivation to be like, all right, I'm doing comedy every night. Kind of like the same way as the running, just to get your mind off of the person.
Just to occupy your time, I guess, basically.
Yeah.
And, it's one of the things where, I guess, I see in so many relationships the person they're dating becomes like their best friend, you know?
Yeah.
So they don't really have that second avenue, like if these two are dating and then they don't really have any other social life outside of it. And then once they stop dating, it's just like, okay, I'm an island again. I have to go back out because they didn't foster the relationships with their friends. And you know, it's just, that became,
oh, it was a nice thing. Like I fostered my relationship with my friends who were comics at the same time. But my friends that were not comics was all the same group of friends. I haven't really seen them since,
because it was in that, it was in,
yeah, know. I've seen him a handful of times, but it's kind of like one of those, oh, okay, let's, I don't have to worry about this.
Yeah, I mean, mutual. Yeah, because, I mean, they all knew the girl. That,
yeah.
Yeah, they were.
You guys dated a long time?
No, just a couple months.
Oh, okay, that's not bad.
No, not at all. It's just one of those weird things where it's like, oh, this is nice, let's do this. Oh, I'm not going to talk to you after we say we're going to do this. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think this is going to work out. I'm like, all right, great.
Oh.
but you're running and you're healthy and you're feeling better. You're drinking the water.
About me,
absolutely. Well, I'm trying not to. I don't know.
It seems like relationships should be so much easier than they end up being.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's like if you like someone, then they like you. Why can't you just hang out? But then all this crap.
The added pressure and
not always, but just a lot of times I find.
It's so difficult to like keep it organic, keep it fun, and keep it new. You know what I mean? As opposed to. It seems like there's always someone looking to go somewhere else with it. You know what I mean? Like, to get more serious.
Yeah, it's just weird. I don't know. I always find like there's just unnecessary confusion. I think like technology has added more unnecessary confusion.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'll be texting with someone and all of a sudden it gets like convoluted where I'm like,
I hate texting.
Because I read it a different way than what they meant when they sent it.
Different emphasis on the words and like,
and I have a tendency to like read things negatively for some reason. So it's like, unless someone puts a smiley face or a friggin' exclamation, like I think that they're annoyed with me. And then I'm like, then you know that all next thing you know, you're confused and you're like, what's up?
So they're gonna be like, just call me. Yeah. If you want to have a conversation, call me. Obviously, you know my number.
Yeah. That's what I've started doing is if it just even seems like it's getting confusing, I just call and I'm like, all right, this is getting weird for no reason.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's like this technology should make things go easier and go quicker, but it just makes a longer phone call afterwards. And I don't ever want to be like the guy that types LOL at the end of a, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to feel like you always have to do that. And then I end up always putting smiley faces thinking I'm like, I become paranoid.
And then you become
smiling over here.
You're like, put smiley faces. If a guy puts a smiley face, it's just weird. Sometimes I just want to put a smiley face.
It's okay for a guy to put like the wink face or something.
I'll do a wink.
I'd rather have a wink face than LOL. I feel like LOL is kind of weird.
I do the... Yeah. Double chin wink face sometimes, just to my one friend, just because I'm screwing.
What's the double chin?
Is that what that means when there's two faces? Two smiles?
What's the reverse, like the one like this and the one like this?
Okay, the parentheses?
When the parentheses aren't closed, they're open like that.
I've seen people do it and I didn't know what it meant.
I don't know what it means. I just did it to one of my friends when I was bored. I'm like, I wonder what this looks like. I'll send it. And she goes, it looks like, I go, I don't even know. As soon as I said it, I'm like, I don't even know what that was supposed to be. She goes, it looks like a double chin smiley face. You go, all right, that's what it is.
We'll just go with that, absolutely.
That's funny.
I'll do a semicolon with a P with a, it looks like a wink and a tongue sticking out.
Well, you just took it way overboard.
Yeah, like,
this is way I mean,
it's like a joke. Like, just
You know what? When you get the iPhone, they make those little faces for you.
They do that?
Have thumbs up. They have an application that gives a thumbs up.
There'll be no more confusion in your life.
Flying ducks.
Yeah, this is a big week for me. I'm moving into 2007. I'm getting an iPhone.
We're all very proud of you.
Yeah. The other two people on the show both have iPhones. They're kind of in their own world.
The only reason I have one is cheaper than a Droid.
And it has not helped our relationship, so.
Oh, okay. So.
Good thing you're already married.
Yeah. I'm married now. I'm getting the iPhone. Now who knows what's going to happen. Absolutely. Yeah.
You'll never get lost again, but your technology problems will still be the same in relationship regards.
Just be lost in my soul. I like that.
You are lost in your soul, Matthew.
Yeah.
Jen, where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Arcadia, California.
Oh, wow.
Arcadia, just outside of Los Angeles.
We're really close. Whenever I tell people that, they're like, oh, from here.
I don't care.
Yeah, it's like it's
not
just like
even
the,
exciting.
It's like where the horse track is, right?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely, Santa Anita
racetrack.
Oh, my friend. She's gone to the two races with. I'll have another.
Oh, the
yeah, she's gone to the Preakness and the
Kentucky.
Yeah, Derby. Mm-hmm. She went to school with it. Like,
wow.
She's like, it's awesome. I'm like, jealous.
Yeah. The horse races are fun. Yeah. I went when I was young.
So what was Arcadia like? It's just like a suburb of LA?
Just easy, yeah. I had a pretty easy.
My family grew up in Redondo Beach, and it was always just like they always looked at LA as just like, oh, that's cool and everything, but you don't really want to go there. And it was just like it was always just, yeah, we'll just stay in the South Bay. You don't really, yeah, there's nothing in LA to do. Don't worry about it. It's creepy. It's whatever. And was it that kind of feel out there where it was just like, no, just go to Pasadena or something if you want
to
do stuff.
We used to go to Old Town, but no, when I first got my driver's license, my girlfriends and I would like, that was the most exciting thing, to drive to Hollywood and like look at the Hollywood stars or something.
And you look at it now, you're like, oh god, man.
It was a big no. You know what we used to do, because we were like crazy girls, was drive to LA. We would like ditch high school or senior year and drive when they had the movie premieres. Like, we went to Keanu Reeves and Point Break. Like, I'm totally dating myself.
Oh, no, that's all right. That's all right.
But we would get there early and be the first one standing, like waiting for him to pass by on the red carpet. And we went to Christian Slater.
Christian Slater? Oh, like, oh, maybe it was like Cuffs, Very Bad Things, Heathers.
Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah. He was in the one with Kevin Costner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was at Westwood.
Oh, wow.
That premiere.
That was a drive for me.
But yeah, Hollywood was still like a big deal.
Yeah.
It's like 20 minutes away. Like, you need to have your license to go there.
Yeah.
My parents never took me.
And this is back before they kind of like redid it, and it was like Motley Crue videos and like creepy and stuff. Yeah, it was
true.
Yeah. You get so excited when they Motley Crue.
I loved Motley Crue.
You know what I'm talking about? Where it was just
Twisted Sister. That's how old I am.
Oh, dude, Dee Snider. I want to rock. I know you're. Mr. Sister, I remember that stuff. Yeah, and it was, they've redone Hollywood. And they've kind of cleaned it up a little bit, but it was super grimy, super shady back then. Yeah.
Yeah, I never went through a phase of hanging out like once I actually like could drink and stuff. I moved to New York shortly after high school, so like all my 20s, I was there and I did all my partying and stuff. So I never really went through like LA of.
Yeah, what
the club scene or anything?
Booze and coat stuff.
Yeah,
just probably good. I probably would have had DUI when I turned 21.
at least you wait till actually you're legal to drink.
Because New York, I partied a lot in my 20s, but
you just subwayed everywhere.
Yeah, you don't have a car, so you're pretty safe.
Well, what part of New York did you stay in?
I lived in Queens for 5 years and Manhattan for 4.
Oh, okay, right on.
New York was awesome, especially when you're really young and like.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you started doing comedy? Or,
free.
So, you know, like, you just kind of work and go out and party. You know, you don't feel like...
Yeah, it's like you're...
Much responsibility as you start to feel when you get older, and you're like, all right, I should...
Every year there's like another, like...
Think about being responsible adult.
I really got to pay those parking tickets, you
know?
That
kind of parents proud. No, I started New York, stand-up in New York. But most of my time has been in L.A.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because when I first moved there, I just really wanted to do, like, live theater. I wanted to be an actress.
Yeah.
And wear that.
And then I slowly, like, I did a few years of theater, and then I got into,
I've seen you in sketches and stuff.
Yeah, I just took improv and sketch just because I figured it would help, acting, and then I just kind of got into stand-up.
It just kind of, I mean, it's one of those things where you can always get stage time, or, you know what I mean, where if you have something to do, you don't have, as opposed to a production where you have to, you know, you have to have a stage, and you have to have... supporting cast, and you have to have a crew and all that, as opposed to stand-up where it's just one.
You don't even need an audience for stand-up.
Well, that's helpful, just... No, the stand-up is... Yeah, I didn't know that when I started, how great it was that you could, like, just do it yourself.
Yeah.
I never felt like I was that good at acting any, like, drama, so... Huh? Then the first time I did stand-up, I was like, oh... You know when you just feel like, oh, okay... This feels good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And then I never really tried to do drama again after that.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah.
No more drama, just comedy.
I was like, I'm sticking to stand-up.
Awesome. Way too serious for me.
Yeah.
I liked it. Well, I was such a, like, a depressed teenager and stuff that I was like, I'd be so good at drama.
Yeah.
Anytime I actually tried to do it, like, as I was being dramatic in my head, I was just like... this is so lame. Like, I felt so dumb, like, trying to be dramatic and stuff.
You felt forced.
I think it's just that, like, yeah, and that, like, yeah. overly self-conscious thing where you're trying to be, like, in a scene, but really all I'm thinking about are the people that are, like, watching me.
About what you're doing.
Yeah, like, I was way too self-conscious to ever be, like, fully engaged. Like,
I can't imagine. Were you, like, gothy? Or what was going on? You were like, yeah, this whole... I just, like, imagining this whole dark, I could be dramatic kind of...
I wasn't so far as to be, like, gothy. Yeah. No, I just... you know, like, if you're in high school, wherever you are, where you're just, like...
We had high school swarm prop, yeah.
Like, if you... Yeah, but I don't know if you felt the same way. Yeah. Like, if you feel like you just don't fit in with anyone. It was more of that kind of, like...
Okay, right on. Well, you hadn't found your
I wasn't so depressed that I was gothy. I was more just,
no,
like...
No one gets me.
I didn't... I think I always wanted to be... part of, like, the cheerleaders and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I always tried to be, but you just don't fit in.
Yeah.
You just don't naturally fit in.
Yeah. And so it felt forced. And
but,
so,
I mean, I wasn't. Yeah. Like, I had friends. I just...
No. Daria had Jane.
I think most people go through, like, weird depression in high school.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're determined. You're figuring out who you are.
And the people who don't, the people whose best time of life is high school. Yeah. Then you see them later, and you're like, oh. Man, I just recently... This is the best thing that can happen as a... Or in life.
Best slash worst, yeah.
I was at the Ice House in these five... Because I grew up around there. These five girls that I hadn't seen since high school. Who were like the most popular, the most beautiful, you know, in our eyes back then, came to my show, and I was like, "What the fuck happened to you?"
Did they know it was you? And
they came on purpose. Okay. Which was really nice of them.
Yeah, and Pasadena is just down the street from Arcadia. Yeah,
but it's like weird to see like the girls who are most like, two of them still look good, and then the other three were just like, just got like really fat or whatever. And I was like, in my head, I'm like. Don't be happy they're fat. Yeah. Like, you're kind of like, I'm kind of happy you guys.
You're doing a little Romeo and Michelle. You're having your little Romeo and Michelle moment, that kind of thing.
That's exactly what it is. Romeo and Michelle is perfect.
Yeah. Well, you're coming out on top now.
But yeah, now once you get older, you're like, all right, it's okay that high school wasn't.
Yeah.
It's only 4 years.
The greatest time.
Yeah, it was 4 years. It was before you were supposed to legally drink, you know? I mean, yeah.
But when you're at that age, everything seems, like, so dramatic.
Yeah, like, it's so pivotal.
Like, now you're like, whatever, life is whatever. But there you're like, this is life. If I don't make the cheerleading team...
I'm going to be a failure.
I'm going to have to move.
I'm going to be on meth and living in Pacoima. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no.
I have to drill oil with sheet cheeser.
Well, like, we
as soon as you said he was doing, which I'm sure he's not really out there drilling it, but you know what my first, what first popped in my head was that scene in Zoolander where he goes back
to his hometown. We have a friend, Judge Caesar, who's working at working on oil fields, and it was
becoming richer than we'll ever be.
Absolutely. He's making more money in oil than the four of us will do in comedy this year, probably. And
next year, and the following year combined. Now,
with that attitude. I think I may go with him. I think I may go there.
You should do it if you have the chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why not? Yeah. I would take a couple months off comedy to fill up my bank account.
I'll probably have like interesting stories about it. Well, like I find out like a lot of these guys are like kind of
ex-cons.
A lot of ex-cons. They can't have any drug convictions or anything like that. Not drug convictions, but drugs in their system.
They just get tested all the time.
Yeah, and it was a lot of people who just rolled off of welfare who were just looking for anything. But John's like a normal guy, and so he's running around with all these like derelicts, and I think it would be fun to hang out with. I don't know.
Yeah, I think any opportunity helps you. Yeah. Any new experience.
Yeah.
Right?
It's always like weird, desolate areas.
But you're married now, man.
I'm married. I have to.
Yeah, think about your wife, Matthew.
Yeah, think about
my wife. Provide for that woman.
Provide for that woman, absolutely.
Make sure she's taken care of.
She has an air conditioning company, and she lives in the valley. It's taken care of, absolutely.
Oh, she has her own company?
Yes.
Oh, so you're okay then.
Oh, wow.
She has a heating and air conditioning company.
Oh.
So.
Well, you were very smart then.
So when she comes home, do you have dinner ready for her? Shoes out, paper on the table? Coffee.
I'm the house husband now. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, I have her. I have her cigar lit for her. Absolutely. You know.
Don't want to
have the gate. Have the gate.
Prager's though.
Oh, absolutely. Have the.
You're not making babies.
No, not with her.
best response.
That's
ever.
Not a good house husband.
Well, it's an open relationship, and
I know you say that a lot.
Absolutely, and it's.
I'm surprised you wear the ring.
Why wouldn't I wear the ring? It's glamour. It's glamour.
A lot of comedians don't.
He's also lost the ring.
Yeah, I've lost the ring twice.
Why, you take it off to like wash your hands or something?
Well, I lost the first ring. It was a little bit looser than this one, so whenever I went to Colorado, I was sleeping in the back of my car while somebody else was driving, and the ring fell off, and I couldn't find it. I even looked. So yeah, I wore that ring. This ring, I misplaced it over at Matt Clark's house also because I took it off for a sketch because I couldn't. Yeah, because it didn't fit for the thing. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, yeah.
But you wear it when you perform?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's like, ladies, I'm taken.
Well, I don't know. Like, if I just got married, I don't know. I mean, I guess I would wear a ring, but I have so much material of...
Being single, yeah.
But, so, I don't know if you would just automatically transition all your material.
But knowing you, if you got married...
you're in a relationship for a few years before you get married.
Yeah,
so.
Knowing you, if you got married...
Your material would change already by then.
Yeah, I mean, who does that? Who just, immediately just changes everything and gets married, right?
You never know.
Yeah.
We could be rich and married next month.
Dave. Absolutely. To each other.
Running 10 miles.
Absolutely. You could have like a running marriage. That would be awesome. You know, everybody has to keep up with you, that kind of thing. What do you think about that, Dave? Most people run from the altar. You have to run to the altar. What do you think about that? Okay, Dave's consuming that right now. He shot
himself in the head with his water gun.
Yeah. Hey man, nice shot. All right. Oh, what? That got more. The splashback from the water gun got more over me than most of your shots have.
Let's fix that.
Oh, jeez. It's always this.
I'm a
playful.
Child.
Yes,
you understand.
Yes, this is a grown. This is a grown man who, whenever he's not running, his mind sits still. Whenever he sits still, and that's whenever we have problems.
Oh, it's racing.
It's racing
it's
right
going
now.
All over the place.
That's why I run too.
Yeah, it helps you like organize your thoughts and like just kind of be productive.
Yeah, I obsess a lot.
Yeah,
and then if I do run pretty far afterwards, I'm really tired, so I feel like my brain is sort of drained.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm too tired to think.
Yeah,
the options were drinking or running. I'm like, all right, running's healthy.
If your mind obsesses a lot, it definitely helps. And obsession can help while you're running, because if your mind's going, then sometimes you start running faster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you get distracted, and you just, yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
So it can help on both ends, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know, yeah, I'm going to join a gym. I'm going to do a back 24-hour fitness, get on the ellipticals, because I had the same thing. I'm not really...
Did you used to belong to a gym and you quit?
Yes.
24-hour fitness, because of the parking.
Yeah.
Oh, did you go to the one in Hollywood?
Yeah, I joined it basically for the parking, basically. And I found out I was using it more for the parking than I was for the gym. And I said, I'll need that.
My gym's right down the block. Like,
you can run to your gym.
No, I walk to my gym.
That's what I do with mine. Isn't it so much better?
Okay, there's no excuse not to go.
Mm-hmm. And it just becomes part of your workout, so it's so much easier. Because sometimes I would go to LA Fitness and I would drive around and there would be no parking. And I would just go back home like, there's nowhere to park. It's freaking crowded. And I just get annoyed and go...
Yeah, originally it was Bally's when I started, but now it's Elliott Fitness.
That's what mine did too.
They got sold or whatever.
You got that whole we're changing over. Here's a deal. I'm like, what? No, it's the same.
Did they try to screw you over on your contract?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, you remember Bally's?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I was Elliott Fitness, so.
I was a member of Bally's.
Oh, so it was good for you.
So I just all of a sudden noticed, there's a new Elliott Fitness.
It's closer.
Yeah. The guy who signed me up goes, hey, yeah, we'll make it sure that so there's near no year like re-up on your charges. I'm like, all right, cool. And then he got fired.
And they tried to charge you?
I'm like, well, they go, yeah, you have to pay. I'm like, what? Like, the guy doesn't work here anymore. I go, oh, that's good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, that's
And nice. is that maybe the reason he got fired? Because he was trying to hook people up on that deal?
Yeah, right.
There are a couple reasons.
Oh, wow.
Seems like a cool guy. And then the guy who, like...
Now, if you could have been one of the two people that got in on that deal.
The guy who was riding shotgun with him.
Yeah.
Like, who was kind of... He got fired, too, like, a couple weeks after they switched over.
Oh,
I'm like, Jesus.
Oh, man, that's freaking...
Like, you have to sign this contract now and this. Nothing's really going to change except that I'm like...
Right, well, did it bump it up a lot on the thing, or was it?
No, it's the same price and everything, but it was just one of those, what do I have to do? I don't know. I can't use every LA Fitness or something. I don't know what the
like they have the Uber LA Fitnesses and like the Magic Johnson ones and stuff.
You can use the Bally's that used to be LA Fitnesses, but you can't use the LA Fitnesses.
Really?
It was something weird. I have to look over.
Yeah, they have like four or five classes of gyms. And
I know LA Fitness had four or five classes, but they're like, yeah, you have to pay extra to use certain ones.
No, not like classes, but like
no, I meant classes tiers. Like tier structure. Okay. When I said classes.
Okay, right.
Like the feudal system.
Okay.
Well, get your shit together, Matthew.
See, this is what happens. This is what happens. My father has a great deal. He pays $14 a year for his gym. He's been there for like forever. It's all.
That's how my dad got in on some deal like that.
Yeah, but like they paid like a it was.
He got in on like
$30 a month.
20 years ago, on someone's family members or something weird.
And
I think it must have been back when not as many people went to gyms.
Yeah.
I think they used to offer these amazing deals.
I guess in the 80s, all they built were like gyms and comedy clubs, you know? And
a lot of Bally's.
Yeah. This is one in Tulsa. And he pays $14 a year. And he tells me every time he talks about the gym, he's like, every time he wants to bring it up.
You know how much I pay this year? $14.
And it's $1 a month. How much are you paying?
It's actually more than $1 a month after taxes and everything.
$1.15 a month.
There we go, man. There's some accounting
in the past. That's pretty crazy. I pay like $36 or whatever.
Yeah. I pay like $24 a month.
Which is not bad for how much I use it. I go like five times a week.
I go three times. I go Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm going to start going back to the gym. Like moving to Sherman Oaks, moving to the Valley.
Sure. Got to work out in the Valley.
Absolutely.
Do LA Fitness, not 24-hour.
Yeah,
LA Fitness. I like LA Fitness.
All right.
There's a lot in the Valley. And whenever I travel, there's always an LA Fitness.
Okay.
Right. And not just in LA.
Yeah, that's one thing about
Contrary to popular belief. I went to Detroit, was the first place where I was like, there's an LA Fitness here. All right.
People just run from random gunshots in Detroit. I don't know what they do in Detroit.
Almost everywhere I've gone, I mean, I don't travel that much, but there's always been an LA Fitness. I'm like, all right, that's pretty good.
No excuse not to go.
Especially when you're on the road and you're in a hotel room.
Yeah.
I spend even more time at the gym, so I'm like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
You can sit here and drink by myself or get in better shape.
Well, you don't have to drink.
Yes, you do.
I found out I don't have cable in my house.
Oh, me neither. I get so excited to be in hotel rooms.
There was I don't have cable. I was like, oh man, this is great. I could like, wow, this is what people are talking about. Holy crap, you know? It was just like,
love hotel rooms. Yeah. Just for the cable.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad I'm not the only person that's weird like that. You don't have cable either. Yeah. And
cable internet, but outside of that, no cable.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's like three shows I'll watch, and it's not worth it to have.
People who have it are like, how do you live without cable? I'm like, if you don't have it for a couple of years, you have no. This makes no difference in your life.
I watch everything on Netflix, and I got a HBO Go password from someone.
Yeah, I've never felt like I'm missing out.
Yeah, especially
at night doing comedy. Like, I don't have time to just sit and watch TV. And
You control what you want to watch.
I don't have time to do it, but I do it poorly.
Well, like, I've never, I mean, like, I remember when I, place where I had cable where I flip around and you're like, if there's like a marathon of a show you like, you kind of used to like or something, and you can get stuck into that, you know, just stay in the couch mode.
I'm almost done watching Robin Hood on Netflix.
Sometimes I'm starting to wonder, though, if it's kind of part of a comedian's job, though, to almost watch a bunch of, like, I've seen, like, I just saw Dave Attell do it this weekend where he's like, he starts talking about the bad shows that are on, like, popular shows that are bad,
the pop culture,
like the Real Housewives, whatever.
Yeah,
sometimes if you can reference those, majority of the audience has seen it, so they can like relate.
The Hoarding or something.
Sometimes it is good to know what people are watching, I guess.
Yeah,
that depends what kind of comedy you do, maybe.
That's what funny. These people are like, when you hear like out here, like, oh, that show's so bad. But it's like one of the most popular shows on TV.
Everybody knows it.
You're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like I never watched Two and a Half Men until like season 6 or something. I only watched for like 2 seasons, but it was still, I'm like, I don't understand how it's a good show. And then like my friends were watching. I'm like, oh, okay. I can watch it a little bit.
Yeah. But it is good to know pop culture.
Yeah, so last week you said you got to work with Dave Attell.
Yes, last weekend.
Oh, that is
at Irvine Improv.
Exciting.
Yeah. Great time?
It's great.
Yeah?
It's awesome.
And he's one of your favorites, right?
Best time. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes. It's like Christmas.
You're like so excited. Yes.
Working with David Sell is like Christmas as an adult.
Yeah. Christmas in May.
That works. It's like the best time. You're like, this is... You know, it almost feels like when you get one of those weekends, you're like, this is worth doing a year of shitty bar shows for free.
Yeah. So
you know, like when you get to do... Because you're not just working with him, but it's like I get to do 5 shows at the Irvine Improv.
Yeah, it's a beautiful club.
Pretty much all sold out.
It's a beautiful club.
The place is amazing.
So, yeah, you just get to do really good shows.
Yeah, man.
And getting to be with David Tell, you know.
Yeah.
Makes it even more fun because I love watching him.
Yeah.
Like I never get tired of watching him headline.
It was so good.
Tom Bill Burr was last week and just sat in
the back. Oh, did you go see him?
Yeah, so.
And I wanted to see him and I heard he killed it.
Yeah, he got standing. I only watched the first show because that was, like, I realized afterward, like, that's when all the comedians started, like, come in and try and find open spaces on the back wall. And it was just, like, he killed. He got standing at this 8 o'clock show. I'm like, oh my God, it was so funny.
He's one of those people I've watched where I'm like for a second, you're like, should I just quit?
Yeah.
He's super smart.
Like, I almost started crying one time when I was watching him because you're just like, fuck me.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, we're like, there were times where you're like, why can I?
There's not that many comedians that you watch and like,
he's one of them.
You're just like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
so fun. But yeah, it was, in the club, there was like only. Like, 3 or 4 or 5 people could stand and watch and not be in the
way. Yeah, there's not a lot of room back there for comedians.
And, yeah, I was, like, doing traffic control for the servers at one point just because of where I was standing. I could see them coming from that way and that way.
You're trying to
stop. Just like, I know, I was just like, oh, there's someone coming from that way.
Scoot back.
They were like, oh, thank you so much.
I'm sure they appreciated it, yeah.
But, yeah, I wasn't in their way, but the other side, people were getting in the way, and they were just like... the manager had to come in. It was comics. He didn't know at all.
Yeah.
And then they're like, what do you mean we can't be in the way? He goes,
I don't know you.
I don't know you. And people who I do know that they wouldn't be allowed to stand here.
Yeah.
So move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, we're trying to, you know, serve these cats food.
I'm sure Flappers isn't used to that.
The overwhelm.
No, well, because they have good acts there, but they're, you know.
To that level, yeah.
Even at the Hollywood Improv.
Well, yeah, you don't really see Bill Burr there. You don't really see Bill Burr.
You see, that's why I love when David Tell walks into the Hollywood Improv, because you see comedians just coming out of the woodwork. Like, they're just shoving in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Even he always makes reference to it. He's like, well, all the comedians.
The dinosaurs are out. Yeah. But
there's not a lot of comedians that every other comedian wants to shove in to watch, you know?
Yeah, it's very
where you're like, oh my God, I have to drive to Flappers this weekend.
Yeah.
And see Bill Burr.
I was supposed to be there anyway, so I was like, yeah, I'll just stay there all night and not do anything.
Because even if you can catch him at the improv, he's only going to do 10 minutes. Like, to be able to actually see him do a headline set is awesome.
It's true.
Because in L.A., you don't get to see it too
often. Yeah, there's only a few people that, like, everybody will come out, like Chappelle. Or Chris Rock.
You never see him go and do that.
Well, he stays under the radar so much.
Chappelle, Chris Rock.
It's like you see other comedians' Facebook posts.
At the Comedy Store.
Dave Chappelle's here!
I'm always entertained. I'm like, all right, that's cool.
Louis C.K.'s here. Louis C.K.
Flappers does do really good. They do get really good headliners there, though.
Yeah.
They had Maria Bamford the weekend before. They got Billy Gardell this summer. H. Tyler.
Yeah.
Chris Titus.
All the couples.
Really good folks.
Yeah.
But yeah, they actually do like headliner sets instead of just straight showcase show all weekend.
No, they're really good ones. Yeah.
Are you, Jen, as somebody who's starting in New York, are you somebody who believes that New York comedy is better than L.A. comedy, or do you think there's just differences?
I don't know, because I started there, but, I moved here, like, 6 months after.
Okay. Oh, okay. Right on.
Like, I started doing stand-up there, and I was already kind of thinking of moving back to L.A., so I can't really say that most of my time has been here, so it's hard to compare. I think you can get more spots in New York. I mean, that's been proven.
It's a lot more smaller clubs, sure, but so many more of them.
I'm sure it is better for your stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the shows are, like, higher quality.
Okay.
I think it's just more stage time.
Yeah.
Because in L.A., it's hard. I try and do 2 shows a night sometimes here, and I can't make it. And then it's, like, stressful.
Well, and also...
And you're texting the other person, like,
I'm stuck here.
I'm in traffic, or I'm stuck.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing is, like, if the shows were closer together, it's great, you know?
Yeah, like, sometimes you're trying to get from Orange County back to L.A. to do a second spot.
Oh, wow, that's a little bit of a
push.
But I don't think... Because I have gone back since and done shows in New York. And I don't think the quality of them is that much higher. You know, they're the same. You do shows in bars, or you get if you get in the clubs.
Yeah.
I just think you probably become a better comic because there's more, because you can do more.
More work.
Yeah, through practice.
More work.
Like comedians, once they're established, they say they do like, you know, four or five shows a night.
Nice. Yeah, because everything's so much more close and compact.
But I'm sure it's just as hard there to get established.
Yeah. Because there's so many more people in the chain ahead of you.
You hear some people who go from L.A. to New York and they come back because they're like, I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, you got to work your way up the open mic chain again.
Yeah,
that's one of the things, the reason I moved out here to start was just everyone's like, well, you start all over when you move to L.A. or New York. I'm like, why wouldn't I just start there then?
Yeah. Unless you got like a little bit of a network established that kind of thing.
Yeah, because I've had friends say, oh, you should go to New York and do comedy. I'm like, I could. I mean, I've spent 6 years here.
Yeah.
I don't get spots at all the clubs, but I mean, people know who I am.
Yeah, you have the thought
of starting over is just like...
You have your own little network. I love that face, the crooked fish face you always
do. Yeah, because it's so hard. Yeah.
Like, I've been doing this for 6 years. I don't want to start over and make it feel like I just wasted that 6 years.
Yeah. I mean, if I had, like, a good TV credit, I would go to New York again, because it seems awesome. Like, if you could go and get into the clubs there, I think it'd be awesome. But starting over as an open mic, I don't know if I'd want to go through that again.
And I think one of the things I always found funny was people that moved from New York to L.A. always complained about the L.A. scene. I was just like, well, why did you move here? You know, it was just like, it's two different things.
I think there's a good comedy scene here.
Yeah. I mean,
I feel like most people are pretty supportive. I don't feel like there's a bunch of, like, hatred or...
No, I mean, there's a little bit, but it's... Yeah, and if you don't like it, go. There's like three or four different. There's like four or five different really scenes, basically.
There's so many.
Yeah, you know, there's. If you don't like it, go to another spot in town. You know, it's not a problem.
I mean, I started out going to a lot of the open mics, especially the Comedy Store. I'd go to every week. I always felt like it was pretty supportive.
Yeah,
I kind of stopped going there a while ago. I was just like, not getting up. I'm gonna do other things on my Monday.
That's what I did. I went really consistently for like a year.
Yeah.
And then I went kind of back and forth, and now I haven't.
Yeah, I go through phases.
I always tell myself I should go back, and then I go back 1 week, and I'm just like,
oh, that's why I stopped.
But you see, people who like really put in the time have gotten past. Like, Jamar's doing pretty well, right? He's been going pretty consistently for a couple of years.
You see people who go consistently and put in the time who continue to move up, and then you see the people who go consistently put in the time.
Yeah. And, yeah, get stale. Get ignored.
Yeah, get ignored.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's a crapshoot.
I felt like I was getting a little bit ignored on that, so I stopped really. Yeah.
I like the improv open mic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I still go to that one.
Yeah.
I like that one
a
lot.
Pete runs it really well.
There's a lot of comics that hang out in there, and they're supportive.
I usually see you and Daryl there almost every time I go. And so,
I like the improv.
I just haven't done the... For some reason, I don't really go there, because it always feels like if I walk in, I'm like, oh... I'm like hesitant because it's not as open as a space.
Huh.
Oh, really?
Because you have to like walk in through like that
little narrow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You should try it. And they pick like 20 people, right? There's a lot of people they put on.
Oh, I'm gonna just go there to like hang out and watch stuff.
Oh. Yeah,
I've tried the mic like two or three times.
Well, like if you
got up and was scared.
Yeah, I mean the shows unless they're sold out, you know, you can find a place to go sit.
Yeah, they're really
corner,
nice about letting comics in there.
Yeah, they seem really supportive of the whole thing. So yeah, that's good for that.
Wednesday night tonight's the best night to hang out. Comedy Juice.
I used to do that all the time. I used to hang out. We used to go from the Pig and Whistle
to
Comedy Juice.
Comedy Juice.
Yeah.
I haven't been in a while, but they get the best comics there.
Yeah.
They got three or four shows now, don't they?
Three.
They do Irvine, Ice House.
Mm-hmm. Pasadena Ice House, and Wednesday night in Melrose Improv. All right.
Yeah, anything on that?
Me? The only things I've got are the freaking festivals, you know.
Which festivals are you doing?
The World Series of Comedy.
Oh, you're in?
Yeah, I'm in for One Satellite in Minnesota. And the Vegas thing, I find out of how far up I go in the Vegas thing.
I've never done that
series. I mean, all I did was just submit for it.
It's in September, though, right?
The part in Vegas is in September. The part in Minneapolis is in July.
Oh, they do it in Minneapolis, too, the World Series?
Well, no, they have, like, four satellites. They do. I really wish I would have signed in earlier, because they had one in Phoenix. And there's, like, Phoenix, North Carolina,
Chicago. Oh, it's gotten a lot bigger. It's
Chicago and Minnesota. So it's like four. Yeah, they're in their third year. And
seems pretty big.
And like, yeah, and I've had some friends that, you know, suggested it. So and I've had some friends that competed in it last year.
Yeah, a lot of people from LA have gone, I think. Right?
Yeah, it's well because it's it's only a 4-hour drive. You can just you can split up, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's I'm doing that, and the two contests we were talking about before the festivals, we'll find out on the San Francisco Comedy and Burrito Festival.
John Hucks submitted to that, I think.
And
have you done Uncle Clyde's contest?
I have never done Uncle Clyde's contest.
I just did it.
How'd you do?
It was good, because I won.
Nice, yeah.
If you win, you're like, sweet.
Yeah.
My buddy came in like third place or something last week.
Is that the
bowl? That was probably with me. Was it,
Yeah, the bowl of,
The bowl
dude?
Yeah, Justin.
Yeah.
Oh,
we were on the same show.
Justin Butler?
Foster.
That French fry bowl is hilarious.
Yeah.
His what?
The French fry bowl is hilarious.
Oh, yeah, he's like, God.
I won that in the first round. I did.
Was it like just like how large?
Bowl
or
like
a popcorn bowl size?
You just end up sharing it with all the comics.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was like, could you imagine if somebody got that whole thing and then they wouldn't share it?
Challenge accepted.
That would just be like the biggest asshole.
It really is good though. Like they throw in some wings and stuff.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, Uncle Clyde's is great to do because it's right there. You don't have to travel far.
I'm allowed to do it.
It's right in Burbank.
Yeah, I've.
Really?
Yeah,
from working, like, doing stuff there, I was told, you're not allowed to do it.
Oh, because you got
I saw everyone who works there has been in it. I'm like...
Because it's audience voting, so it's not like you would have it in.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, I may hit Andy up for that. I mean, like, I want to send the avails in. It's like, yeah, he hasn't booked me on anything.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay, right on. All right, so that's going to be the post-game wrap-up.
Awesome.
Anything going on with you?
I'm going... Oh, tonight I'm doing Venice Underground.
That's a great, super fun place.
So fun.
Yeah, Bronson's place.
Bells.
Yeah.
But this will come out on Monday.
Oh, okay, yeah. So.
Oh, then it doesn't matter, yeah. I'm going to be in Temecula then after this comes out.
Temecula.
The weekend of the 14th, 15th. Do you know that new club, Aces?
Yeah, I haven't been there,
but that's where I'm going next weekend,
I sent
the
stuff
14th,
to
15th.
Yeah, oh, I think I'm going to Pechanga.
I'll let you know how it is.
Awesome. If it's Aces or not.
Pechanga, I don't know. I've been there once, but I don't know who books it now.
Oh, I can't remember.
I'll give you the info for the guy at Aces, though. What do you have coming up, Dave?
When this comes out on Monday, I'll be in Huntington Beach at Centerfields.
Ooh.
Oh, are they still doing that show?
Yes.
That used to be my sports bar down in when I lived in Orange County. I loved that place.
I didn't know he was still doing it.
Oh, yeah, it was huge.
Keith Reza.
He's really nice.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
I did it once. He was nice.
I did it a couple months ago, and then I ran into him. He's like, what are you doing? Are you going to go out? Whenever?
You're forcing me to. Okay.
I'm thinking there's anything else. I think...
No.
And then June 3rd, 14th, I will be... 13th? That's third Wednesday, correct?
I'm not sure.
June 13th, I'll be at Ed Galvez's Punk House.
Yay!
From the episode we never released.
West Side Comedy Theater. Fun.
Yes.
Nice.
All right. Well, thank you all. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
It's been a good show. Listen to some Jeff Rokaw's on the way out, and keep listening. Find us every week at WeGetChicks.com.
Toodles.
We get chicks?
Yeah.
Who the fuck invited you?
Get up! Anybody who been hating away, you know you really been slow in my game. And I don't know who gave you the invite, but we are ready to hear that tonight. Get up!